Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode of Living Loud Outdoors. On the mic with you. It's Tuesday. We've made it past our Monday, and we're rolling downhill towards the weekend. We're still quite some distance away, I'm afraid, and we're bucking a headwind today. We got a mean headwind coming in Oklahoma today, and there ain't nothing rolling too good unless you're rolling with the wind, unfortunately, today. I want to talk to you a little bit. You know, we spend a lot of time, and it seems like I use a phrase frequently today, referring to the truth, that the truth will set you free. I'm going to actually share that message with you today. It takes me to the Word. Every time I begin to think about things and people begin to contradict anything that I might be saying or being argumentative against the Word of God and against where we stand in this world today, it takes me back to the truth, which is the Word of God, and which is the truth that will, in fact, set us free. So I want to share with you today, the truth will set you free. John chapter 8, verse 33, what does it mean that the truth will set you free in this passage of Scripture? The truth will set you free is a common saying in academic circles. When they want to promote academic freedom and the power of learning, they talk about how the truth will set you free. Many universities have this statement emblazoned on a sign near the entrance of a building. But the truth will set you free did not originate in academia. Jesus said it in John chapter 8, verse 32. In context, Jesus' statement was nothing to do with classroom learning. In fact, John 8, 32 speaks of a higher form of knowledge than is capable being learned in a classroom. Jesus had just finished a speech at the temple where he delineated differences between himself and his listeners. In John 8, verse 23 through 24, it says, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. You will indeed die in your sins." That's a pretty emblazoned statement. It's pretty bold right there. That basically Jesus cutting and drying it. This is who you are. This is who I am. If you don't believe in who I am, you're indeed going to die in your sin. And your eternity is set, is already set. Excuse me. The result of Jesus' message was that even as he spoke, many believed in him. In other words, in verse 30, it talks about, our hearts were even changed while he spoke. Then in verse 31, Jesus begins to speak just to those who had believed and who had changed their hearts. John 8, 31 says, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." My followers is what disciple means. True discipleship is more than intellectual assent. Those who are truly followers, really followers of Christ, will hold to his word. In other words, they'll live according to his word. That word becomes truth. It becomes absolute. It becomes the worldview that they use from this point on when you become a follower of Jesus Christ. And as a follower, we cling to, we hold to his word. Now, that means that not only do we accept his teaching as truth, but we will also obey his teachings. Action is proof of faith, right? I mean, James chapter 2, verse 17, "So too faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead, inoperative, and ineffective." By holding on to his word, by being followers of the word, being obedient to his word, it's putting an action to our faith. Faith comes by hearing, that because it's not something that we see. True disciples of Jesus believe that he speaks the truth about God in the scriptures. So his disciples, guys that were following him, even though he was right there with them, they truly believed that what he was speaking was an absolute truth. They were seeing the results of the power. They were seeing the evidence of God's presence upon him and the Holy Spirit being upon him. And so they believed everything that he said about God in the scriptures. They also know that he is who he claims to be. They because of everything they were seeing as they walked with him, they really believed he was exactly who he claimed to be. Back in verse 25, the people asked Jesus who he was. Now, he responded just what I have been telling you from the very beginning. That was his response in verse 25. I've already been telling you this. So just what I've been telling you from the beginning. There may have been a tinge of exasperation in his response there, because he had repeatedly made known that he was the Messiah, the one they had anticipated for many years. It's just that many didn't believe him. Verse 32 begins with, "Then you will know the truth." You refers to those who are true disciples of Jesus. True disciples will know the truth. If you're into God's word, if you believe in God's word, if you're a born-again believer, you'll know the truth. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth to you. It opens the eyes. It takes the veil from your eyes. More than that, their eyes are open to a greater understanding of the truth. Again, that's the Holy Spirit's work in us. Opens our eyes, removes the veils. We can see clearer, and the scriptures begin to mean more and more and more as we get into them. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, "And we have seen and know by personal experience that the Son of God has actually come to this world and has given us understanding and insight so that we may progressively and personally know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." The truth that Jesus' disciples received brings with it freedom. Jesus continues in verse 32, "And the truth will set you free." It'll take you out of legalistic bondage. It'll take you out of legalism. It'll take you out of the misteachings. The truth of God's word can set you free in ways you've never dreamed. At that point in history, the Jews were under the rule of the Roman government. Even though Rome gave them an exceptional amount of autonomy, they were keenly aware of the Romans' presence around them in the form of soldiers, governors, and imperial appointed kings. When Jesus said the truth would set them free, however, he was not talking about political freedom, though the following verses indicate that's how the Jews took it. See, Jesus provides the best commentary for his own statement in verse 34. Jesus explains, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Being a slave is ultimate bondage. The freedom Jesus offers is a spiritual freedom from the bondage of sin. That is, release from the lifestyle of habitual lawlessness. He continues with an analogy now in verse 35. "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." The people would have understood Jesus to mean that they were not members of God's family, despite their biological relationships to Abraham, verse 37, because they were slaves to sin. It took them out of the family feature and put them into the slave category. If they were to become disciples of Jesus, they would know the truth of their condition and the truth about Christ, and Jesus would set them free. Believers would be freed from their bondage and brought into the family of God. Jesus is the truth. John 14, 6, one of my most favorite verses to quote personally, "Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." Knowing the truth will set one at liberty. It sets us free from sin, free from condemnation, and free from death. Romans 6, 22, "But now since you have been set free from sin and have become willing slaves to God, you have your benefit resulting in sanctification, being made holy and set apart for God's purpose. And the outcome of this is eternal life." Romans 8, verse 1 through 4 says, "Therefore, because of this, there is now no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what that law could not do, that is, overcome sin and remove its penalty, its power, being weakened by the flesh, man's nature, without the Holy Spirit, God did. So what the law couldn't do, God did. He sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh, subdued it, and overcame it in the person of his own Son, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not live our lives in the ways of the flesh, guided by worldliness and our sinful nature, but that we live our lives in the ways of the Spirit, guided by His power. Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captive. He came to set the captive free. Who's the captive? We who are caught in sin, in bondage. We're a slave to sin until we surrender to Jesus Christ and we allow what He did on the cross to cut those chains of bondage and set us free. Luke chapter 4, verse 17 through 19 says, "The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him." I love this. This is Jesus' young guy here, right? He's in there hanging out in the synagogues, and he's in there with all the priests and all the legal people. And so the scroll of the prophet of Isaiah was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah, because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release, pardon, forgiveness to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, who are bruised, who are crushed by tragedy, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the favor of God abound greatly." That was Jesus reading the scroll of Isaiah in the synagogues with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priests, all those things. See, when we accept Jesus for who He is, when we acknowledge our sin and we repent, we surrender our life to Him, we're cut free from the bondage and the burden of that sin that we've been carrying for all our life. We're free. So if we accept Him and the truth has in fact set us free, because He is truth. He is the Word of God. He is the Son of God. And He has the power to break the bonds of sin because of what He did on the cross for us. What do we have to do? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 gives some great instruction. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. What we are to do when we surrender to the Lord, when we have that revelation moment of God, when we find our first love, when we come to that moment of revelation and God opens our eyes to who He is to us and who we are to Him, and that moment of surrender, that beautiful place where you lay down your burdens before the Lord and He cuts those bondage of sin off of you. He takes the chains, the weights, everything that's had you bound to this world, and He releases you from all of that. He forgives your sin. He washes you clean. Maybe you've been water baptized. That represents dying with Jesus. Just as He did on that cross, He died. When you're put underwater, you are buried with Him. But when you are raised with Him as a new creation, washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And it's at that point that we begin to live as people who are free. We're no longer carrying that bondage. We don't have to pick up the chains. We don't have to pick anything up. We've been freed from it. We've got a new name written down in heaven, and it's mine. That's just what the old hymnal song says. But we live as people who are set free, not using our freedom as a cover up for evil. We can't say, "Oh, hey, look, man, Jesus set me free, so now I'm going to do whatever I want because I've got this punch card that says I got a free place in heaven. It's kind of like my get out of jail free, you know, the past hell. I don't have to go to hell. I can go to heaven now." That's not what that is. If we're not living according to His word, we're going to find ourselves caught back up in our bondage, caught back up in our sin. And then the Bible says that there no longer remains a sacrifice. So which means that we've got to find our way back to a place of repentance once again. So listen, if this is you, if you found yourself, maybe there was a point in time where you gave your life to Christ and He set you free. You remember that first love? That's what the letter in the second chapter of Revelation talks about, Church of Ephesus. You've lost your first love. Come back to your first love. Get rid of all this junk in your life. Quit living according to the world. Begin to live according to the ways of God. Let Him use you to seek out that which is lost so that they may be found. That's why He set you free in the beginning, so He could use you to lead others to Him. You become a light shining in a dark world. Use it properly. Quit living in sin. Turn your back on it. Repent of the sin in your life. Come back to that place of freedom with the Lord, and He'll set you free all over again. And you'll find that place of your first love, coming back to that place of your first love, that we are to live as servants of the Most High God. That's our role. People are like, oh man, that's just such a drag. No, it's not. It's some of the most exciting times. I'm looking at what's going on in our world today, at what's being written, what's being spoken around us, and I'm thinking, yeah, we are right there. We are in the midst of biblical prophecy being unveiled, unfolded, rolled out right in front of us. What an exciting time to be a son or daughter of Jesus Christ, living according to His word, sharing these moments so that the lost can be found before it's too late. And there's coming a day when it's going to be too late. There's coming a day when we'll call out for the Lord and we're not going to be able to find Him. It's scriptural. I need to look that scripture up, matter of fact. I haven't done that yet. But it's in there. It's in the Word. The truth is what sets us free. It's God's Word, God's truth. You can't change it. You can't rewrite it. I've got a whole nother message that I'm going to have to preach, I think. It may come Thursday, maybe. That's kind of along this same line. God's just been pouring this stuff into me. Man, this is where we are today. This is our time. We are living in biblical prophecy right now. I've heard about it all my life. I've heard it could happen any moment, but we're seeing it. There's never been a time in history that we've not seen more fulfillment of biblical prophecy than we're seeing right now, including those who are calling us crazy, those who are turning their back on God, those scoffers. The Bible talks greatly about in the end days, even the elect will be deceived. Who's the elect? Those are those that have been enlightened. Those are us. That's men and women of God who are being deceived left and right. Again, I've got scripture all over the place and messages I've got written that we're going to have to get into because I believe that this is our time. Some of this stuff I've even preached before, we've got to rekindle the fire. We've got to fan those flames back up into an inferno because our time is running short. Get your life right with Christ. He is the truth, and the truth will set you free. I guarantee you. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for following along our podcast. Thank you for supporting Rhonda and I financially. We love that. We're very much in need of financial support right now as God's got us going multiple directions. He's got to provide the way. Maybe He wants to use you to do so. Pray about it. Follow the heart. Follow the Lord. If He leads you to give towards our ministry, all of our giving links on our website, www.livingloudoutdoors.com. Pinned right at the top of our Facebook page. We share giving links from time to time. Any questions, contact us. We'll get it figured out how you can give towards our ministry support, our mission support, our evangelistic support. We would greatly appreciate that. Please continue to pray with us, pray for us, as we continue to pursue the heart of God in seeking out that which is lost so that they may be found. Amen. Rhonda and I love you. God bless you. We're praying for you. We'll talk to you again real soon.